Looking out for my child in the local playground could be challenging too. My four-year-old son scrambled from one activity to the next. He knew I couldn't see him properly. My vision had faded years before he was born. But he still called out, "Watch me, Mummy, I'm over here." I turned my head in the direction of his voice. "Okay, Mummy, don't move your head. You're looking straight at me." I praised Michael's climbing ability, listening intently while praying, "Please don't fall off." The hands on my Braille watch told me it was time to move on, and I was relieved from blind patrol duty. My son skipped beside me and we walked towards the kindergarten. "Can we play I Spy with my little eye?" he asked. I loved his passion for play and the way he could ignore my vision impairment. "Sure, you first," I said, hiding my feelings of visual inadequacy. "I spy with my little eye," Michael thrilled, "something that is green." After a few wild guesses, we had arrived at our destination. He helped me to locate the handle to open the child security gate, and then he bounced away into the playground. But I felt a pang of anxiety as I tried to follow his disappearing trail. It was impossible to distinguish my son from the other children running past. Which fair-haired child was mine? Was that his voice calling out, "Mum, come and push me on the swing"? Some of the other parents knew I was partially sighted and watched Michael on my behalf, keeping me informed with a running commentary on his changing activities. I appreciated their thoughtfulness, but my motherly identity was challenged by a sense of guilt at not being able to watch out for my own child. To compensate for this lack of sight, I devised other ways to see by dressing my son in bright contrasting clothing. Sometimes I could look out for him in his green and white striped t-shirt and dark navy shorts. And at other times, it was a red top and grey trousers that stood out for me. My eyes roved the yard to spot his bobbing yellow cap or flashing white shoes. These things I did see. At other times, Michael sprang up from behind a tree to touch my hand. "I'm going over there now, okay?" Inside Michael's kindergarten, we would sit at a small round table on tiny wooden chairs doing visual activities together. On one occasion, the children were following the teacher's creative instructions as she showed the little people how to fold and bend paper to make a paper plane. Michael asked me for sighted guidance, but I had no idea how to advise him. We persevered, turning the paper this way and that. "Now, just fold along this line and then turn the paper over this way and then..." The teacher held up her paper plane. The children sounded impressed. I felt like a failure. "This way?" Michael asked. "Mummy, is this right?" I replied, hiding my frustration. "What do you think, darling? Does it look like your teacher's plane?" He seemed happy enough to persevere with the folding of paper, unaware of my shame. The teacher came over to guide him through the process. She gently touched my shoulder in a reassuring way as she kindly said to my son, "Clever boy, that's nearly right." Back in the comfort of our home and away from scrutinising eyes, I was more confident in helping Michael with his education. We collected cards of every type and cut out magazine pictures, chatting about the images, pasting them into our own scrapbooks while I remembered the scenes on each page. I sang playful songs and told stories and made up rhymes to spark his imagination. We shared a tactile communication through puzzle play, clay moulding, Lego building, and baking cookies. Michael, like his older siblings, learned to bypass my lack of sight by tracing shapes onto my open palm, knowing that when he did, Mummy could see the object by drawing it. His little fingers often tickled my skin, and I held back tears of love for his thoughtfulness. Later, one evening, as I struggled to read one of his favourite Mr. Men books, I put down the magnifying glass and sighed. Oh dear, this is very slow, isn't it, sweetheart? Michael sprang up from under the blanket and threw his warm arms around my neck. With his sweet blue eyes, bright and with the wisdom of a four-year-old, he said, "That's okay, Mummy. Don't ever give up. You can tell me one of your stories." Michael's words were so comforting. It was touching to feel the essence of unconditional love from a young soul who seemed to be more in tune with the truth than I had been willing to accept and face myself.